Welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, very eager to chat with our next guest. I love people who have passions and they turn it into a book, a documentary, a movement, a campaign. Those are the people that I like to have on The Green Front, individuals making a difference, whether you've heard their names or not. Hopefully you will be hearing more about Dive, the movie about dumpster diving, and its director, Jeremy Seifert, who is joining us now on The Green Front, to tell us about what is behind the making of this film and how we can see it and the impact it's having on audiences and really the problem behind it, which is the abundance in America that leads to so much waste. And in this particular case, we're talking about food waste, which I think is the most sinful of all, other than perhaps wasting human lives by having so many Americans not productive while we have so many emergencies to deal with. But that's another segment. This one is about food waste in America, how it's thriving, alive and well, and how we need to do something about that, because even in our own communities there is so much hunger taking place, especially as so many families and individuals are struggling to make ends meet with the economy being where it is. I think more and more people are downsizing. I'm hearing about people who are, you know, moving in together, even families, to make ends meet. And of course, food prices go ever higher, and that is the one thing we absolutely do need to survive, food and shelter. And so, you know, it's a really timely topic and something that really needs to be looked at. We're so good at looking away in this country at the homeless, at poor people, and more and more of us are feeling the pinch. So maybe that's a silver lining in that we have more compassion as a country as we learn what happens when you don't have anything in your savings account and you are living paycheck to paycheck, or if you don't even have a paycheck because you've lost your job. Anyway, we're going to find out more about all that from Jeremy. Welcome to The Green Front.
Thanks for having me on.
So glad you could join us on short notice. I somehow got word of your documentary a few weeks ago, and then I've been traveling and had this nagging feeling this morning. There was somebody I wanted to have on soon, and it was you. And we're going to work together in just a couple of hours before the show. So I've seen just the trailer, and I can't wait to see the whole film. I think you've got a link online, so people who are listening, they'd like to get a copy of it. They don't even need to, I think, order it. I think you're offering it free downloads, is that correct? And why did you decide to go that route? I think it should be in mainstream theaters across America, but then again, I'm not the mainstream movie viewer. I don't go to any of those action flicks that are ridiculous, shoot 'em up, that make millions to make and are just pretty disgusting and a waste of time and resources. And then wonderful documentaries like I know yours is, that shines a light on problems that impact all of us, you know, have to be, you know, special community screenings like with one most recently about Frank, let me be Frank. I don't know if you've heard about that, but that's about a guy who goes from obese and depressed to healthy, enlightened, spiritual, and it's all because of going to a vegetarian diet and a spiritual awakening, and that's the kind of movies we should have in every theater across America, and yours.
Well, I'm actually working on a 3D version of Dive that will, you know, be $20 a ticket, and, you know, you'll have to watch it in the big theaters, and it's going to be amazing. Actually, we got a distributor, First Run Features. And
are you going to have the smell feature, too, so as we're if you're going to the garbage, we can get a sniff?
Yeah, it'll be like the Feelies. So in Brave New World. No, we actually got a distributor, First Run Features, and it's being released on DVD and Netflix July 19th, so it's coming up really soon. The little link I sent you before the show is just for really special people like you to have a look at the film. So don't pass that out to anyone.
Okay, so our secret. I'm really interested in what your background is, Jeremy. That is it filmmaking? Is it food? Is it none of the above? You just stumbled upon a problem and decided to do something about it?
Yeah, it's the latter. I'm just a normal guy, English lit major. Don't have a background in filmmaking. Dive is my first project, and I chose it just because I was working full-time and have a family, and it was a film I could make when everyone else went to sleep, and I could start filming because dumpster diving happens late at night. And I had been dumpster diving for a couple years before I decided to make a film. And, you know, we just pond dumpster diving. It wasn't like my friends and I were part of a movement like the Freegans or had some social cause in mind. Some people visiting from Philadelphia awakened us to the fact that there were loads and loads of good food in dumpsters, so we just started picking it up.
Picking it up, so to speak. We have a trailer that we have queued up, just a little sampling of the movie, so I think we're going to play that now, and then when we come back, we'll talk about how you were able to make this movie, if you got on Trader Joe's bad side, or eventually there was a meeting of the minds and perhaps some solutions thrown about. Going to find out, but first, if we're queued up, let's take a listen to Dive.
All right.
So there are three basic rules to dumpster diving.
First ones to the dumpster has first dibs.
Never take more than you need.
Leave it cleaner than you found it. You leave it cleaner than you found it. Is that sound right?
Every year in America, we throw away 96 billion pounds of food, which means we're feeding our landfills as much as we're feeding our country.
All of these perfectly good eggs, because one was crap. Just threw them all away. That's what they're doing with everything.
I eat much better than I ever have before.
The tri-tip of salad?
That's pretty decent.
I'm getting meat for my baby shower tomorrow.
From the dumpster at 1 a.m. this morning, 3 p.m. this afternoon on the grill.
I would say most of our friends are aware of the fact that we get all of our food in the dumpster, and I think it's pretty cool.
Rescuing food from the dumpster was great, but the question nagged me. Why is all this food being thrown out and not given to people who need it?
It's a big problem here in America, where you do have all that kind of food and resources available, but you still have people falling through the cracks.
Limes from Mexico and cheese from Germany and meat from Chile, do you just let it rot?
I believe in what I'm doing. I'd be proud to say I got arrested for eating somebody's waste.
That is where the conflict comes between what I believe is just and what is legal. This is totally outside the system way of living.
If you guys didn't pick up that food would most likely go into the dumpster.
Yes, and if we're a few hours late, it's in the dumpster.
I guess these bananas aren't edible. That's why they threw them away.
The kind of society that would waste this amount of food is one that doesn't value the earth and the products it produces. It's in our own personal detriment to continue the process.
It's about more than not wasting food. It's about making sure everyone has enough to eat.
We have to help each other. That's what we're here for, to help everybody. And if everybody kind of took that attitude, you know, I think we'd be much better.
Go hungry. In the United States, even our trash cans are filled with food. You just have to go get it.
Jeremy Seifert, that sounds great. Even with the music in the background, it's a little bit hard to hear the dialogue, but you have just a few startling facts in there. And in the trailer, you online, you can see the pictures, and then someone held up that carton of eggs, and with one cracked egg, the rest go to waste. I tear up when I see things like that. I'm one who hates to waste food and can only imagine what's in the back of so many stores. My husband teases me. He says, yeah, you want to clean out the refrigerator, eat every drop, and that's not good for your waistline, Betsy. But it really is, it's sad. It's a crime. And then not to mention, you talk about the food we get from other countries, you know, not you know, bad enough that we have to, you know, somehow think in America that we can have berries in the middle of winter, you know, coming from Chile. But just the embedded energy, the fossil fuels that go into shipping this stuff around, or what really makes me cry is if, you know, a chicken goes bad in the refrigerator or a fish, you know, a fish died for that potential meal, and it wasn't even a meal. Same for the chicken, same for the meat. And yet we're not really sensitized to this in this country like so many other issues as we should be, and that's why I love this film, because maybe it'll get people to tune in a little bit more to, I mean, it's addressing multiple problems.
Yeah, it's amazing too. I mean, you ask anyone, do you think it's a good idea to waste food, and no one is going to say yes, and yet pretty much all of us do waste food on a daily basis in our own homes. And the film, you know, is pointing out some of these grocery stores, and most grocery stores, but it's also looking at the waste that happens, the whole process of food and, you know, from farm to plate. And
upstream and downstream.
Yeah, and it comes back around to ourselves as well, and there's something sort of within us that's lost our sense of awe and wonder when we look out at the world and the things that the earth produces. And, you know, when you're in this paradigm of domination and control rather than working together with and seeing the interconnectedness of all of us and all of life, that's how we get into this mess in the first place.
And talking to you reminds me of my conversation with Colin Dovin from No Impact Man, who also got curious about, got tired of actually hearing himself and friends, you know, wring their hands and talk about, you know, how the planet is going to pot as they're having, in his case, he and his wife were just having their first child. He decided to go, you know, off the grid, go carbon free for a year living in Manhattan, and tells a great touching tale in his book and documentary about that. And one of the messages he points out that I suspect you touch on too is, you know, the spirituality is gone, and that it'd be one thing if we were, you know, as we are massive consumers, you know, super champs at consuming and wasting in this country of ours, if we were happier. But if you look at the happiness index, we're not. You know, half of America seems to be on antidepressants, and
yeah. Sometimes
it seems like the other half should be. But, you know, I'm joking, but it's not funny at all, because we're wasting fairly mindlessly and at no small cost.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as you mentioned before, this issue of food waste touches on so many other issues all the way down to the spiritual level. And then broadly, it reaches into, there was a study done recently that showed that just on food waste alone, 300 million barrels of oil are used, and 25% of our fresh water on food that ends up wasted. And then when that food, of course, is carted off to the landfill, it's buried and produces methane, which is 25 times more potent than carbon dioxide. And, you know, you mentioned the meat earlier. If you know food production and how wrongly it's done in this country, then, you know, how costly it is just to produce meat to our environment with the pesticides and water and just the detrimental practices to the animals. And then if that ends up in a dumpster and then a landfill, or, you know, farmed salmon down in the Chilean Patagonia that are shipped all the way up here, and those end up buried in the earth, the cost is immense. And not to mention the 43-plus million Americans who are on food stamps, 1 in 8 of us now, while this waste is happening.
You're reminding me of another interview I did maybe 6 months ago on Wasteland, I think. Jonathan, I'm forgetting his last name, but he wrote a book on food waste. Are you familiar
Jonathan
with his
Bloom.
Work? Yes.
Yeah, American Wasteland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting that you both have similar topics coming up at the same time, which means it's an idea whose time has more than come. How do we get America to pay attention?
Oh, well...
Make a documentary, which you've done, and it looks fabulous.
Go on the radio. I think it has to happen from so many angles, and for different people, they'll be reached and touched and awakened by different things and different moments. And but I think usually for most of us, it takes many, 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 many touches before we are shaken awake about an issue. So.
And sometimes I think we are touched by something that we're not really paying attention with, you know, Mother Nature screaming at us, you know, what's with us anyway. But you have made a documentary. Tell us how much it cost, how long it took, why you picked Trader Joe's. Just give us a little bit of the dumpster diving details, if you would.
Sure. The original film I completed was 45 minutes long, and now I've added about 8 minutes to it, so it's 53 minutes long. The original film had a budget of $200
No million, you know, coming after that, huh? Just $200 or 200,000? Yeah. No.
No, 200. I mean, very, very, very low budget shoestring film. I mean, I, you know, basically did most of the parts myself, and you know, learned how to edit and everything, and did that. And then some amazing, wonderful people donated, like the sound mix at the end, and the band that I'm a part of, Jubilee Singers, you know, that's where all the music came from, the songs. And then my friend Timothy Vaderot composed the music in between the songs and, like, for the trailer that you heard, and he didn't charge a thing. So
that's all original
really,
music
it,
in the film?
It should have had a bigger budget, but it, you know, it about $200 were spent on videotape for the camera.
And what's your budget for promotions? Even bigger, I bet.
Yeah, well, the first couple film festivals, I wasn't even going to submit it to a film festival because I didn't really think that much of it as my first film, and my friends convinced me to, and, you know, I submitted to a handful of film festivals and was complaining that it was already exceeded the budget of the film. And then it won the first festival that it was in Gig Harbor, and so a friend came over and said, okay, we're going to submit to a lot more, and here's my credit card.
Wow.
And since then, it's won at 21 film festivals around the world, which is kind of hilarious. But I guess it just, I think it does tell a good story, and it's got a lot of heart in it. But also, I think it came at the right time, and for that
absolutely
reason, it's been important.
Did you submit it to, like, the Mill Valley Film Festival in my area that gets a lot of attention, any of the larger ones?
Yeah, or Mill Valley, they somehow, I can't remember all the details on it. I think they came and found us, but did it for some other, like, children or youth program or something.
Category.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's wonderful what you've done, and I want to help spread the word, and I will do that. And what's next for you? Are you taking it on the road like they did with May I Be Frank? They're doing community screenings of that film because they wanted to have conversation afterwards, and the star of that film, Frank, you know, was at all the screenings, and it did get quite a following, loyal if not large, from, you know, vegetarians, raw foodists, vegans, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it should have a much wider viewership because the problems impact all of us as the problems you're talking about, too.
Yeah. I've been on the road with it a bit just for film festivals, and I did this thing called the Southern Tour of independent filmmakers all through the South for about a month last year. And I mean, there's screenings happening all the time. And so please, if you're listening too, and you're a school or some other organization, you want to do a screening, please, you know, come to the site, divethefilm.com, and contact us, and we'll help set something up for that. For me right now, the bulk of my time and energy is focused on the new film I'm working on, which is on GMOs, which, you know, when you say that to the average person, probably not your listeners, but they don't even know what a genetically modified organism is, and
they're
eating it.
They think that's a new division of General Motors, GMO.
Right, but yeah, these genetically engineered crops are, you know, 80% of processed foods. They're not labeled. They haven't been fully tested. And I am a father now of three and have serious issues. So I'm actually on the road right now doing some filming, headed to Seed Savers Exchange up in Decorah, Iowa at the middle of July, and then headed over to D.C. to do some more interviews. And I went to Haiti in February to film the peasant movement of papaya and their resistance to the seeds donated by Monsanto after the earthquake. So that's my current project, and we're launching a Kickstarter campaign on Monday to help start raising some funds, because it's not going to have a $200 budget. It's going to be much, much bigger than that. So
Good. Well, now that you've established yourself as a filmmaker, getting your first one in the can, you get much bigger budgets, right? Much bigger support.
I hope so. We'll see. We'll soon find out.
I hope so, too. You're the father of three? Is that what you said? Three children, huh?
Yes.
That was so young. Well, I just have one beautiful daughter on this planet, and I do this work for her, but, of course, all the children, and that sounds kind of woo-woo, but just every now and then I stop and think about, you know, the way we're acting right now. Those of us who are in a position to do something, and I'm talking about most Americans, kind of putting their heads, our heads in the sand, with so much, you know, scientific evidence, as we were just talking in the last segment with Peter Joseph about the climate problems, ocean degradation, in the whole, it's all connected, of course. The whole ecological web is under strain. And yet, unless we've given up on future generations, starting with our own, let's, if not children, grandchildren, depending on your age, you know, how is that okay to put our heads in the sand? I mean, it just blows my mind. Unless someone called for the end of life on this planet and I missed that memo and we're just kind of all given up and we're going to watch reality TV, you know, watch Housewives, scratch and scream. And then, you know, the Casey Anthony trial, which is all over the news every day, one family's poor drama, but a nation obsessed, it seems, with things that don't really have any impact on our lives, and yet we're so good at ignoring issues that are absolutely already affecting our lives as Americans and as parents and as citizens and as consumers. Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I don't have a TV, and so I'm protected from a lot of the the garbage. But, yeah, I think...
You have another kind of garbage. You go to the real trash.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I started my career with a feature called Trash Talk. You'll be happy to hear.
Wow.
Earth Day 1997 on CBS Radio in San Francisco. My background is radio news, and all the news didn't, as I say, amount to a pile of garbage after, you know, covering years and years of breaking news, fires and floods and corruption and crime. And my passion was waste. So you are speaking to someone who is a kindred spirit. And I did 10 years of reduce, reuse, recycle, rot tips, and went on to do a one-hour program on Air America called Eco Talk. But waste is my passion. And
that is beautiful.
Thank you. You would appreciate that, and that's why I got so excited when I saw Dive, a movie after my own green heart. And I guess the key is, of course, getting others to care as much as we do, and, of course, we all should care. And, oh, my goodness, we're just about out of time. So closing thoughts, Jeremy, on, again, how people can tune into you and tap into what you're doing?
Yeah, one last thought. I mean, visit the website. There's lots of screenings and things happening that you can plug into from there, divethefilm.com. And right now there's a change.org petition happening, and it's called Tell Trader Joe's to Stop Wasting Food. And as of now, I think we have close to 65,000 signatures. And actually in the last day, there's been 15,000 more added to that. The reason we're pushing Trader Joe's is because I like Trader Joe's, and they're my neighborhood store.
I love Trader
Joe's.
Yeah.
And that we're simply asking them to be better than they are. We're asking them for a corporate-wide policy that ensures that all of their stores are as good as many of their stores already are. So I congratulate them on the good work they're doing, and we're asking them to be better and to be a leader in this. And next on the list is Whole Foods, which we would all expect to be doing really perfect work in this, but they're not, and they need a corporate-wide policy, too.
Right, and the one thing I wish Trader Joe's would change is I don't like to buy produce there. First of all, it's not often organic, and it's wrapped in plastic and that cardboard, so I hate that. I don't know if that's necessary. That's something you've got into. You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're launching America's Green Tea Party. Next week, we're starting to have greenhouse parties for a healthier alternative. 10 most important things you can do to have a positive environmental impact, and I'm going to put your petition on the list. Things you can
Great.
Do if you,
Thank you
think it's a crime that we waste so much food in this country. So we'll do what I can here, and good luck to you, and maybe we'll check back with you in a few months and see
All right.
that's your progress. I hope you go far and wide and loud.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy, and that is Jeremy Seifert. He has done a documentary called Dive that just about does it for me. They're going to dump me off the air in just a second, so I'll say have a great Green Week for this edition of Green Front. If you missed part of the show, go to Progressive Radio Network Archives or mine at www.thegreenfront.com. See you next time.